Good evening, a very happy new year. It's Behind the News, where we bring you detailed analysis of all the day's news. My name is George Asikri, and tonight, what do politicians and other stakeholders in governance make of events in 2014? And what are their projections for 2015? Behind the News looks at the prospects for the country in 2015, particularly in some key sectors of the economy. Residents of Asebu Akrofu in the eastern central region not happy with insecurity in the area following series of murders and attacks, but the police arrest some residents for unlawful assembly. We find out the latest from the area. And Bonaboto ends Congress with a strong petition to the Upper East Regional Minister. What is contained in this petition? We find out. Stay tuned for the next 1 hour as we bring you details of all these stories on our program tonight. But first, Doreen Ampofo is seated with the family.
Well, the monthly pensions allowance for pensioners has been increased by 15%, according to a statement issued today by the Social Security and National Insurance Trust, SNIT. The increment takes effect from this month. A call has gone for government and other stakeholders to speed up the process to fully implement e-governance in the administration of local assemblies. The director of the Institute of Local Government Studies, Dr. Esther Feabuaje, made the appeal at the opening of the 66th New Year School, which is dealing with e-governance in the local governance system. And the fire service is calling for more vigilance to prevent fires during the summertime season. According to the service, it is surprised at recent fire outbreaks plaguing the capital, especially when they have embarked on several educational projects to sensitize the public to safety measures last month. The chief fire officer, Dr. Albert Brown Gazi, expressed the worry at a media briefing in Accra.
Thank you, Doreen. Happy New Year.
Thank you, George.
Well, we begin the program. The year 2015 has fully taken off with about 44 billion Ghana cedis approved by Parliament as government expenditure. To many, 2014 belongs to history. Others are, however, of the view that history is a good guide to the future. Tonight, on our first edition of Behind the News, for 2015, we look at 2014 in retrospect and what should be expected this year. The economy made the headlines throughout the year 2014. The education sector had a share with some of the longest or one of the longest strike by POTAC, issues of book and research allowance, the removal of allowance for teacher trainees, and many other issues. Politics, a Greek name it, all have their fair share of the 2014 challenges and prospects. On the line is the General Secretary of the People's National Convention, PNC, Bernard Mona. Good evening, Happy New Year, and welcome to the program. Well, we seem to be having a challenge with Bernard's line. Certainly, we shall try to re-establish contact with him. It's Behind the News. And Behind the News is live on Radio Upper West in Wa, Radio BAR in Sunyan, Radio Savannah in Tamale. Obonu FM is here in Tema. Bernard, we understand, is back on the line. But if you are in Sahih, it's 101.1 Unique FM there. Bernard, welcome to the program. Happy New Year.
Many, many happy returns, George.
Well, 2014, in retrospect, what comes to mind?
Well, at the party level, we suffered some painful deaths. Some of our constituency, some regional executives passed on to glory. It was a difficult moment for the party in terms of our organization. And indeed, some of our staunch supporters also passed on. It is important in reflecting 2014 to still console and share our sympathies with their families, and also to ask for God's fortification for their families, and to continue to remind them that our comrades lived for a purpose, that the purpose for which they lived was to see the PNC in particular to come into government, that they were not able to achieve that in their lifetime imposes on us a responsibility, so that together we will work to ensure that we achieve this. Even in their death, they will be magnified by the fact that we achieved what they did not achieve and what they stood for. Beyond that, at the economic level, or the economy level, there were some difficulties that our nation was forced with. One of such difficulties was that those who believe in the economics of averages will tell you that our GDP was in disarray, our interest rate was in disarray, inflation was in disarray, and our currency depreciated sharply. Therefore, it meant that those who are engaged in imports of goods and services suffered major losses as a result of currency fluctuation and instability of our currency. We also noticed that contractors in particular also suffered many, many losses as government projects that they executed were not fully paid for. Most of these contractors, as you are fully aware, took loans and other facilities from financial institutions. The fact that they were not able to repay the loans meant that collaterals will have to be liquidated. At the end of the day, some of them had to suffer losses in terms of personal property that they acquired. Some of them in the process even committed suicide because they could not stand the difficulties. Worst of all, government went for a Eurobond, and this Eurobond facility was used to pay foreign contractors, and they repatriated the money to their home countries, leaving our country there. It is our hope, therefore, that in 2015, when we get our Eurobond collection, the government will put premium on local Ghanaian contractors so that when they get the money will stay in the economy, strengthen our economy.
Let me stay a bit there, because you use the term worst of it all. When you were referring to the Eurobond, does it mean that it's not something good? That is why the choice of that clause?
Apparently, it cannot be good. You can imagine that you go and take dollars or euros from outside of the economy of Ghana. You come to Ghana and you come and pay foreigners in foreign contractors. They just take the money and go back. So it means that the money in effect did not come back to you, did not come to your country. So what we put in across is that Ghana went for a loan and the loan was consumed outside. It did not come home. Therefore, it did not add to the economic build-up, the economic growth and development that we're looking for. If you pay a Ghanaian contractor, you are certain that a chunk of the money will stay here. They will pay the workers in the first place. They will store the money or the reserves in their bank accounts, and the money will circulate within the Ghanaian economy. But if you pay a foreign contractor, they take the money and pay their shareholders outside. As soon as they pay their shareholders, what it means is that the money did not come to you. That certainly is bad economic planning. That certainly cannot be a call for prudent management of the resources of our nation.
So with the way the challenges were handled, will you say Ghana as a country did it properly?
We did it wrongly. If we had done it correctly, I'm sure that many contractors who hitherto were living happily would not have suffered. I'm sure that those who laid off their workers would not have laid off their workers. I'm sure that they declined, because if you go and take euros and you pay back in euros and the people take it outside of their country, we don't produce euros in Ghana. We don't produce dollars or we don't do dollars in Ghana. We only have control over Ghana City. And so when you have money and you borrow this money, you go out there to get dollars into your country, you tend to pay these contractors in foreign currency. They take the money outside of the country. You have caused this array in the economy. You have injured the economy, and above all, you have put the economy on a sick bed.
Bernard, one other thing happened to do with petroleum products. they went up. In fact, somewhere getting to the end of the year, we were told it was around 118. This morning when I checked, it was less than 54. But this is a new year. But as of December, fuel prices were still on the high. How government came out to explain that yes, the economy was in debt and so we needed to pay off other things. We heard of issues like automatic adjustment formula and so on and so forth. Looking at how those things were handled, whether good or bad, depending on how you are standing or where you're standing, what should we expect going forward?
Well, you know my position on the National Petroleum Authority and many other independent institutions that have been created. I think that those institutions need to be scrapped because at any point in time, they have not lived up to the mandate for which they are supposed to exist. One, if you take the critical issue of petroleum prices in this country, the introduction of what we call the automatic adjustment formula appears only to work when we have an increase in petroleum prices, and then automatic adjustment formula applies so that we can increase the prices pari passu so as to commensurate with the world price increases. We have insisted that it is not only the S-pump price or the producer price of petroleum products at the international market that determines the domestic price level. And if you take that, there are many other products that are produced at the domestic level that will ensure that at the end of the day, we are able to move forward. Unfortunately, when we come to our country, if you take the price load up for petroleum prices, you have taxes, you have levies, and other additions. And when you put taxes and levies, and the net effect is that when you take the taxes, taxes constitute income to the government. The levies constitute income to the government. At the end of the government come and tell us that they have subsidized the products. Take the taxes and levies and subtract the so-called subsidy and you get a net profit. You cannot be making a net profit on a product and at the same time claim that you are making losses on the same product. It is only in Ghanaian politics that can happen. And so we have insisted that the claim that there is subsidy on petroleum product is not correct and that it is false. We have insisted that because petroleum products have an inelastic demand, what that means is that it doesn't matter what level the price is, people will continue to consume the same quantity or even more. Because if your vehicle have to consume a gallon of petrol from your house to the office and back to your house, it doesn't matter whether the price is 30 or it is 100. It is the same gallon that you have to consume. Otherwise, your car would not be able to go to the office and do what you have to do. Because government is aware of this, it is a cheap source of making money. It is a cheap source of making revenue. So they use petroleum prices as a cheap, faster way of making revenue, and that is what they do.
Okay.
So I am appalled that when the oil prices dropped up to 60, the automatic price adjustment formula is not allowed to work. What it tells you is that there is an invisible hand, there is all this time a visible hand that is regulating the prices or regulating the National Petroleum Authority. So they cannot turn around to tell us that we have an automatic price adjustment formula, whereby when the world prices of the products are up, then it means we have to have an increase in domestic prices.
Right.
That is my view, the height of deception,
okay.
The height of insensitivity on the part of government and its officials to continue to tell us that there is an automatic price adjustment formula. When the prices are on the high side, we get the shock. When the prices are on the low side, they tell us that they have debts to pay.
Bernard, before you take leave of us, it's a major economic, macroeconomic indicator. There are others, but in 2015, what are your projections?
It is my expectation that the consume made in Ghana products and produce campaign will be accentuated so that we'll be able to ensure that most of the things that we import, which leads to debilitating terms of trade, which affects our balance of payment, will be checked. For instance, it is my view that we could stop the importation of rice so that the over $600 million that we spend on the importation of rice can stay in this economy.
Okay.
If it stays in this economy, it will generate jobs for our people. If it stays in this economy, it will stay income in the pockets of Ghanaians. if it stays in this economy, it means we'll not be exporting jobs to the foreigner,
right,
whilst creating unemployment for our young people.
All right.
It is also my expectation that the Minister for Finance, the Minister of Trade and Industry, and in particular the Minister for Agri, will put in measures that are necessary to revamp the various industry. And finally, that the energy sector will have to be looked at. The decision by the Energy Commission to limit solar production to 20 or renewable energy to 20 megawatts is distasteful and
okay,
will not help the growth of the energy sector in this nation.
All right. Ben, I want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. We wish you the very best in 2015.
I wish you the same, sir.
Bernard Mona is General Secretary of the People's National Convention, PNC. He's behind the news live on Radio Ghana. And also joining us on the line is Kwaku Kwarten. He is the Member of Parliament for Obuasi West and a Member of Parliament Committee on Finance. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Right. Thank you, and thank you for your listening.
Yes, thank you very much for your time. Are you still in the constituency or are you back?
Well, I'm back in Accra now.
Oh, okay. Welcome back. And 2015 is in. We're looking at 2014 in retrospect. And then the economy was topical last year. From where you stand, a Member of Parliament's Select Committee on Finance, what were some of the highlights of 2014? And did we handle the issues properly when it comes to the economy?
Well, there was one fundamental element of the economy last year that dominated everything. It is the fact that we are spending far more than we are generating. This deficit situation arose sharply in 2012, and we have not recovered from it. So you saw in 2014, everything we did related one way or the other in dealing with the deficit. We know government went for Eurobond. The Eurobond was used to clear domestic debts. We saw government crude oil prices going down, but government refusing to reduce prices accordingly because government wanted to recover some of its costs. It's completely illegal. You are not allowed to charge prices beyond the ceilings imposed by law simply because you want to clear previous debts, because that which you are calling previous debts are subsidies we did not pay, though by Parliament approved figures for subsidy financing. So in 2014, we struggled and struggled, and we were not successful in cutting our expenditures to meet, to be able to be financed by what we generate. The Dumsa did not help matters because corporate profit went down. Therefore, the taxes that they were supposed to pay to government also went down, with a consequence that the gap between the expenditures and the inflows was widened by the fact that corporate taxes did not do well. Now, these are the challenges that faced us in 2014 that made it a difficult year. In 2015, if you look at government's own budget, government is saying that, in fact, in 2015, I will spend even less. That is to say, as a way of dealing with the gap between our expenditures and our inflows, I am going to spend very little, and I will try as much as possible to rake in more money from taxation. The reason we are back to the Dumsa is that the gas we got from the Jubilee gas has been used to power additional generators. It has been used to replace crude oil purchases for the purposes of powering our generators. So government is saying that, look, where we are, I have to cut costs. So if I'm lucky to have gas, I'm not going to give you additional power so that the Dumsa will stop. I am going to use it to replace the crude oil so that I'll end up spending less. So you see again, going forward in 2015, government strategic decisions based on our struggle with our excessive expenditures. Now, I foresee a very tight fiscal year in 2016, if anybody tells you that 2016 would be easier and that things would ease much better than it did in 2014, it cannot be true. It cannot be true because government itself is saying that in 2014, I spent quite some money. The economy expanded by about 6.9%. I have disputed that figure. When the statistical service comes out, I am sure it will be 4.6%. But even government is saying that in 2015, I will do only 3.9%. And if you look at government expenditure in the medium term, government is saying that I'm going to spend very little and I'm going to try as much as possible to get more money from you. Therefore, 2015, in my opinion, will be a very tight and a harsh year. Those who are anticipating salary increases will have a tough time with government because those increases will not come easily. The IMF is there breathing behind the ears of government and telling government that if you continue spending, I will not bring you the support. And we all know that if IMF doesn't bring the support by the beginning of the second quarter, that is by April, we would start seeing the fall in the city again. So we are desperate for the IMF support.
But why you say 2015 will be a very tight year? I'm sure many people will be panicking because 2014 was quite tight, and I'm not sure many Ghanaians will want another one. But now, in terms of workers' salary, you are talking on the difficulty in expectation for any increment. What about the ordinary Ghanaian who is not on government payroll? What will make the economy tight? Is it that prices are going to be, you know, on the high, utility tariffs or what?
Oh, well, that is the point. I mean, going for an IMF program would mean that government subsidy in many of these areas will have to be removed, and therefore these things would go up. When government, as the biggest buyer in everything, decides to spend less, everybody gets affected. The contractors who are not government workers but are private workers would have a harder time getting government pay even what government owes them. Because government is under pressure to let the IMF know that we're living within our means. And so as for 2015, it's going to be a really tight year, and I think we should all brace ourselves up for it. Looking at the energy sector, we do not immediately have any additional source of gas, except the promise that has been made to us by Nigeria, that this time around, it will be more kind to us. But if Nigeria gets tight, they just will not give you the power, the gas. If they don't give you the gas, what it will mean is that the doomso will continue. The average barber will not be able to do their work. The hairdresser, the ice cream cake seller, businesses, people are going to have to be laid off. If government, however, decides that, well, I'll buy more crude oil and power the generators, the IMF is probably going to say that, well, you can have my balance of payment support. The city is going to drop again. It will come with all its consequences. The only real way out, which I am very doubtful that this government will be willing to pursue, are just two. One, government must take clear steps to cut the corruption. We cannot continue to have the waste and the corruption we're seeing on the payrolls, in government contracts that in the past were given for 200,000, these days are being given for 300, 400, 500. Government has to cut the waste and the corruption, the first point. The second point, government has to embark on radical reforms. Those private, public sector institutions that can live on their internally generated funds will have to be made to live on their internally generated funds. If government cannot do these two things, my expectation is that we will end 2015, though it will be a harsh year, we will end it with still the problems on our hands to deal with.
With your two solutions, the second one, radical reforms in public sector, well, what about the first one? Cutting down issues, you talk of contracts that were given, say, 200, now 300. Is it not also because of the fact that things are high, cost of inputs are very high, cost of labor is very high, so that if you are taking contract today, you have to, you know, put the figure high and able to pay your workers compared to the past?
Well, we can look at how much the salaries of workers who work for contractors have increased over the last 6 years and compare it with the escalation in contract prices. Look, let's not play around this. Things that private sector people can deliver for a price of X, if it is delivered by government agencies, it goes to 2X. It is a present problem. We have to deal with it.
Right.
And two, the payroll fraud we see, government must embark on those digital introductions in our payroll systems so that it will work. Government must, the investments our donors have made in business.
Okay.
We must begin to pay attention and let those things work.
All right.
But you see, my conclusion is that the political will to do this must be radiated clearly from the president so that all those who follow him would know that we are in a new regime. If things continue, if the corruption continues, I tell you, 2015 will be a much more difficult year than we are even fearing now.
All right. We want to thank you very much for your time. We wish you the very best in 2015 as a member of Parliament Committee on Finance and member of Parliament for Obuasi West. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you, sir.
Kwaku Kwatin is MP for Obuasi West and member of Parliament Committee on Finance. We also have on the line Ernesto Yeboah. He is Deputy Communications Director, Convention People's Party, CPP. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Well, I want to believe it's a formality.
Right. 2014, for the CPP, how was it like?
Well, thank you very much once again. And let me say a very good evening to all your wonderful listeners. And to keep asking for God's blessings for you guys and the great work that you are doing. 2014, I think everybody knows, has been a very disappointing year once again, especially by the Mahama administration. And the reason why we say that is that even government couldn't meet their own expectations in terms of their targets for the economy, their targets for agriculture, their targets for security, their targets for transportation, and all that. All these areas were in serious lack, and even in housing and social protection and all that. We do not expect 2015 to be any better, especially as regards the type of policy initiatives and policy conduct of our government. And let me give you a few examples.
Right.
Talk about the attempt to impose genetically modified foods on the people of Ghana with the Plant Breeders Bill in Parliament. And looking at the determination of our members of Parliament to still want to go ahead with this passage, when our leading trading partner, including more than 186 countries, have banned genetically modified foods. You're asking yourself, why are we in the hurry to, as it were, pass it? What if our cocoa gets contaminated one way or the other? With EU banning genetically modified food and our cocoa being contaminated by the same genetically modified food, while they are banning our fishes, they are banning our fancy kinky, they are calling it toxic and all that, they are banning our vegetables, why wouldn't they ban our cocoa? And what would it, I mean for our economy? Talk about sitting with the IMF and listening to their dictates in terms of tightening, how do you call it, the budget and introducing austerity measures, removing subsidies, freezing wages, freezing, how do you call it, public sector employment and all that. So we don't expect anything better in 2015. Look at them.
And also, to be fair to the IMF, government has over the period said that they are going to do what they call homegrown policies and not necessarily directives or dictates from the IMF.
Of course, but what is a homegrown policy? A homegrown policy in this particular analysis is more or less like the IMF almost all the time bringing the rope so that they hang it around your neck and then they squeeze it or send the noose and then you die. But this time around, the IMF is around and government is saying that, okay, you give me the rope, let me tie it around my neck myself And what is the difference? At the end of the day, you are still tying the neck around your neck and you are going to die. Look, our cedi alone, our currency, has depreciated more than 1.5 million percent since 1966. So what is the point? How can you be talking about growth in an economy where your currency has depreciated by more than 1.5 million percent? In 1964, the cedi to the dollar equivalent was 68 pesos. 68 pesos to the dollar. Today, where are we? I mean, so that is the point we need to get. Now, what the CPP proposes as solution is something that neither the NDC nor the MPP are ready to do. First of all, you cannot be talking about progress in an economy you don't own. We must own the economy first. And when we talk about owning the economy, talk about our resources, gold. Which group of people own our gold? 97% of our gold is controlled by foreigners in our own country.
But that cannot be reversed, can it?
Well, we need a political party. We need a leadership that has the balls to be able to reverse these things. We
amid international laws and conventions?
Certainly. I mean, why can't it be reversed? Did we not sit down with them to come to certain agreements? And why can't we change our minds? I mean, at a point in time when we know that these agreements are inimical to the very health of our economy and of our people. So it can be done. Other countries have done it and we can do it. But it will take political, how do you call it, leadership to be able to have some of these things done. Talk about our oil, 86.5% in the hands of foreigners. How can you be talking about growth? Talk about telecom sector. What part, I mean, percentage of telecoms do we own? And I'll give you just a picturesque idea as to how this country is going to look in the next decade or two if we do not begin to work, how do you call it, on our imagination,
right,
be able to kick out the MPP and the NDC. Take Osu Oxford Street, and I believe you know Osu Oxford Street. Ask yourself, which company dotted along that street belongs to a Ghanaian? Kuala doesn't belong to a Ghanaian, Total not for a Ghanaian, Wudi not for a Ghanaian, Papaya not for a Ghanaian. If you want to find the Ghanaians on that stretch, it is those selling the newspapers, the dog chains, the dead fishes. This is not the kind of country that we fought for. This is not the independence that we fought for. And the Convention People's Party's proposition is that before we can make any progress, we must take the economy back and hand it over to Ghanaians.
Okay. All right. We want to thank you very much for your time on our program tonight, Ernesto. We wish you the very best and your party as well in 2015.
Thank you very much and God bless.
Ernesto Ebua is Deputy Communications Director of the CPP. Also joining us on the line is Samuel Okudjatu Ablakwa. He's a Member of Parliament for Northtown and Deputy Minister of Education in charge of tertiary education. Happy New Year and welcome to Behind the News. Hello, Mr. Ablakwa.
We are most grateful. Many, many happy returns to you.
Right.
To all our cherished listeners.
Good. 2014 was not all that easy for your sector in particular. The strikes, book and research allowance, teacher trainee issues, BEC, so many things, secondary schools promised by government and the lot. How will you assess how you handle these challenges and the way forward?
Well, thank you very much, and Happy New Year to all our dear listeners once again. I must say that coming into this responsibility, we believe that it will not always be a walk in the park, and that it's a very serious assignment, very challenging, and that there are times that you will have some of the issues that you raised, how to address concerns of unions and how to address the issues to do with strikes and what have you. But it is really about the leadership that you show. And I am blessed to be working with Professor Nana Opokuagyeman, who is a very astute and competent minister who very much understands the terrain. She has been in education for the better part of 35 years and really understands the sector. So aside the challenges which you have enumerated to do with the labor unions and issues to do with book and research allowance or incremental credits or or all the issues that the unions raised during the year, I think that the unions will confirm to you that for the first time we instituted a monthly unions meeting during 2014, which allowed that we were able to meet regularly and communicate amongst ourselves. Because we noticed that the gap that existed was that the unions and the ministry or government was not communicating, and that's why these monthly meetings have been instituted. Having said that, though, I will say that the positives of 2014 far outweigh the challenges. Why do I say that? If you come to consider the fact that by the time we began 2014, teacher absenteeism in Ghana was moving around 27%. By the time we ended the year 2014, because of the campaign my minister led against teacher absenteeism, it has come down to 11%, which is quite phenomenal, because about 11,300 schools were visited, surprise visits. We made sure that you reward teachers who are giving off their best, and those who are absenting themselves, you do not pay salaries or you do not encourage that and all of that. By the beginning of 2014, we had not begun construction of the 200 junior high schools that President Mahama promised. But right. By the time 2014 ended, we had President Mahama had cut a slot in March 2014 for the first 50, which are at various stages of completion. We have also completed work in terms of the preliminary concepts, designs, and faculty issues and all of that for the University of the Eastern Region. The bill is now in Parliament as I speak to you. The conversion of polytechnics to technical
universities, yeah.
That's also the technical committee finished its work. The draft bill is ready, and only tomorrow morning we'll be meeting at La Palma at 9:30 a.m. Experts and stakeholders will gather to look at the draft report and the draft bill. So I would say that in summary, a lot was achieved, and we are quite impressed about the support that we received from everybody, teachers, non-teaching staff, parents, the students themselves, because education is everybody's business.
Right.
Not only about those at the Ministry of Education.
Moving forward, I'm sure 2015, when it comes to education, we're talking of the free senior high school that government plan introducing. We're talking of more of the senior high school, community day schools. Teacher absenteeism, you said, has been reduced from 27% to 11%. I'm sure we'll be looking at the effect or the impact on that when it comes to the exams the students write. What should we expect this year? Maybe by 31st of December?
By 31st of December, we expect that we'll have taken off with the free SHS program to benefit some 365,000 day students. We expect that we'll have distributed 500,000 school uniforms to our deprived districts and students. We expect that we'll have distributed teaching and learning materials, printed about 6 million textbooks for our students. We expect that we'll have expanded the school feeding program. We'll have expanded the capitation grant. By the end of 2015, we expect that we'll have begun actual construction of the University for Environment and Sustainable Development in the Eastern Region. We expect that we should have also gone very far in the conversion of the 10 polytechnics into technical universities. We expect also that we will have started some work on the additional construction of 10 colleges of education. We also expect that teacher absenteeism will have inch closer to single digits, to 0%, really. That should be what it should be, and that's our target by 2016, that teacher absenteeism should go down to 0%. We also expect that we'll have continued to lift standards and ensure that quality education, especially at the basic level, will be achieved, and it will be obvious for us.
Well, whilst projecting these things, particularly in the area of infrastructure, what will you say is the state of maybe the university in the Volta region, for instance, that the government started? We don't know what has happened to the one in the Bonafu region. Can you tell us what is happening to those universities when it comes to infrastructure, students, and other things?
Those are universities you would love to visit. You should go have a look, my brother George. You'll be impressed. These are universities that began with less than 40 students. As I speak, there are more than 400 students. The University of Health and Allied Sciences in Peru has begun a medical sciences program. This is calling the university. They are attracting great faculty from all over the world. You go to the University of Energy and Natural Resources, Professor A.C. Ewell has done a fantastic job as a foundation vice chancellor. So has Professor Pinker at the University of Health and Allied Sciences. These are universities that are doing so well, and they have new infrastructure coming up. We will have to arrange a tour, or you need to send your colleagues down there to these two regions, and you'll be amazed with what has been achieved. So I can assure you that these are universities that are alive, that are doing very well, and by the end of 2015, we expect that the expansion and the progress will continue.
Well, these are laudable things to hear, but these things will only work effectively when there's peace, harmony in the classroom. Every year we hear issues of POTAC, we hear NAGRAT, we hear, you know, UTAC and so on. Are there measures in place to forestall strikes and other things this year?
Well, I believe in unionism. I am a former activist myself, having been NUC's president. So I would not want to speak in a way to suggest that our unions have derailed our progress, or unions are a nuisance. No, they are very essential part of what we do, and we welcome their activities and their contributions. I think that we hope to increase our communication and our interaction with them. We expect that we'll be able to understand each other more, and that all the issues that are outstanding, especially the National Research Fund, we'll be able to find an amicable way of implementing this. So we recognize their role. All these unions have a very important part to play, and imagine how, if we have a strong partnership, and they themselves take up some of these issues about self-esteem, about the welfare of teachers, about ensuring that time on task and contact hours are excellent. Imagine what we'll be able to achieve. So we seek to forge a stronger partnership so that we can achieve more for education in Ghana.
Right. I want to thank you very much for your time. We appreciate your time. We wish you the best in 2015.
Always a pleasure.
Samuel Okudjetua Blackwa is Member of Parliament for North Tongue and Deputy Minister of Education in charge of tertiary education. Still on the economy and 2014, the Senchi Palava IMF issues, payment of ghost names and other things. So many issues dominated the economy, a very big topic that we need more time with economists to discuss. But let's just take a few thoughts from Dr. John Gatti. He is a senior lecturer a chartered economist, Department of Accountancy and Finance, University of Cape Coast. Good evening, Doug, and welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Well, just to start, just some brief in 2015, what should we expect when it comes to the economy?
Well, I think we should expect that some of the major problems of 2014 should be addressed to allow for enhanced economic activity that will ensure increased productivity, and that will help us meet the set target for 2015. I'm referring especially to the energy sector. In fact, when there is some enhancement in the energy sector, that will also have a reflection on management of currency and diversification of the economy. If you look at the 2015 budget, some indication has been made that about 150 million standard cubic feet of gas will be produced by the gas processing plant to enhance generation mix in the country. They have also indicated about 90% completion point of some projects at Takoradi thermal plant and some other projects that will contribute to enhancement of generation in the country, coupled with some enhancement within the transmission and distribution sector.
Okay.
Within ECG and GRIDCO. All these things that they have indicated to us do come on stream. Some of them are expected to come first quarter. Then I think we will be seeing a reformed economic activity in 2015.
Doc, we want to discuss this topic in detail tomorrow. But before you take leave of us, many have predicted a very tight economy this year. Do you see same?
Well, in terms of financing, there is still going to be some tightening because we are dealing with fighting deficit. The budget as read was already show that there is going to be deficit again. Revenue is far less than expenditure. So those things are still with us.
Okay.
But we need to be minded that these things were very pronounced because the energy situation was also very bad. So that is what I think. If this pipeline of projects begin to deepen enhancement in the energy subsector, the overall effect of these difficulties will be reduced somehow.
All right. Doc, we want to thank you very much for your time today, and we hope to talk to you again tomorrow on the economy. More details.
Yes. That's fine.
Thank you very much. Dr. John Gatti is a senior lecturer, Department of Accountancy and Finance, University of Cape Coast. To our next story, the people of Asebu, Akrofu, and surrounding communities in the Abura Asebu Kwamankasi district in the central region today staged a demonstration in Cape Coast over what they described as the police inability to deal with series of attacks and murders in the area. They also accused the police of allegedly releasing four suspects arrested in connection with the murder and attacks. According to the residents, the police have not been proactive in protecting them against these murders and attacks on them in recent times. On the line to Asebu Putubiu is George AEC, who was lucky to have survived an attack by unidentified assailants on the 19th of November last year. Good evening. Welcome to the program, George.
Hello. Good evening.
Well, you are lucky. We are happy. We thank God that you escaped death. But you have one of your hands amputated. How is life treating you in connection with all these things?
Hello.
Yes, George.
Yes, George. We see, popularly known as Kofi Enyako.
Very good. Yes, you were at. Yes.
Yeah, from Asebu Kutubiu. My case happened on the 18th of November, 2014.
Okay. And then since that, how is the security situation in the area?
Okay. As for mine, the case was reported to Central Regional Headquarters Police Bay Division. And then through that, they have been working on it and then they have made some arrests.
But we understand most of the people, they are not satisfied with the work of the police. Well, you are an active participant since you were attacked personally and suffered amputation of one of your necks. What do you expect the police to do at this stage?
Okay. Not only me in particular, but the whole community. We wish that the police would be coming around because where we are, there are four towns or four communities. And the people who are, the criminals are around those four communities. So we would like them to even patrol on the road for us.
Okay. All right, George, we want to thank you very much for your time on Behind the News, and we wish you the very best. George, you see, is a resident of Asebu Putubiu. We have on the line DCOP Ransford Moses Ninsen. He is the Central Regional Police Commander. DCOP, good evening and welcome to the program.
Good evening.
What is making it difficult for the people in Asebu area to sleep soundly?
In fact, we don't know that they are not sleeping soundly. But we had some murder cases, two murder cases of late. And our district commander at Abula Dunkwa is patrolling that end of the corridor, and Tipkus is also patrolling to his side. And so we meet at a point. And so we are patrolling the area, and I don't know how they are not sleeping soundly.
We understand some, there were some murders, like you said, too. And how many people have you arrested so far in connection with those murders?
We have arrested two in the first case, and also we have arrested one in the later case that happened 3 days ago. But another one was arrested in connection with the first case, and so we have 4 people arrested.
Some of the residents in the area have accused the police of allegedly trying to release some of the suspects that have been arrested.
And that is what we don't know where they got that information from, because murder cases, police cannot grant bail to anybody that has been arrested for murder. It is the court that can grant bail. And so the one that we arrested only yesterday, we're intending taking him to court after we have taken his statement and also investigated part of what he will tell us. And so it's just unfortunate that the people rise to our headquarters that they have heard that we are trying to release them on bail. That is not true.
So moving forward, what is the assurance?
The assurance to the inhabitants is that we will continue to do our patrols in the area. But we will also inform them to report to us of any suspicious character that come into the area, because they are in the communities and they know themselves. And therefore, a person who is a stranger who comes to stay around, at least they should inform the police so that we will be able to also monitor or even call that person and find out what he's doing in the area.
Okay.
Because if they don't give us the information, we cannot, we are not magicians. We cannot just know that somebody is coming to murder somebody in the area.
All right. DCOP, I want to thank you very much for your time on Radio Ghana tonight. We wish you the very best in 2015.
Thank you very much.
DCOP Ransford Moses Ninsen is the Central Regional Police Commander. It's behind the news live on Radio Ghana. To our very last story, as the year 2014 came to a close, most ethnic groups and communities sat together to deliberate on their past failures and achievements and strategize for bigger things ahead. One of such groups in the northern part of the country, particularly the Upper East region, put together people in the Frafra or Goroni ethnic group, particularly referred to as Bonaboto. It is made up of people from Bolga, Nabdan, Bungo, and Tungo communities in the region. So what did this year's conference or congress, a biennial event which took place in Bolga, examined? In the midst of issues in the region, including that of development in the Bolga Secondary School and many others. On the line to tell us more, the head of communications of Bonaboto, Ayire Emmanuel. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Good evening, sir.
Ima, to our listeners who have not heard much about Bonaboto and what you do, just under 30 seconds, what is it?
Yeah, Bonaboto is it's a social group that is, as you rightly said, made up of the Bolga, Navrongo, Nabdam, Bongo, and then the Tongo traditional area. And it's a group that has come together to see what we can do to promote the development of the traditional area. And also supporting government or any CDO whose intervention is geared towards the improvement of life in the area.
Is it a non-profit organization?
It's a non-profit organization. It's non-political.
All right.
And but we are basically aiming at supporting the development of the area, because we know this is the area that is impoverished, and we are in for any program that is in support of the livelihood of the people in the area.
Mr. Ayiri, we hear you sent a petition, strong-worded one, of course, to the regional minister at the end of your Congress just some weeks ago. What is it about?
Yeah, the petition, it was actually a follow-up to a demonstration we did throughout the principal streets of Bolgatanga, and it's because the government or the GES has denied us the opportunity for us to teach and examine the Gronin language, which we know is an L1, which is a requirement for all. And then, as we said, is our area is impoverished, and we think that education is one of the main tools through which we can sustain our livelihood in the area. And the denial of our people to teach Gronin at the basic level, and then for it to be examinable, we think for so long we have been denied this right.
Okay.
So we decided to demonstrate and then present our petition to the regional minister for onward submission to the president, so that this particular request that we are making will see the day, the light of the day.
Right.
So basically, that was our petition we submitted, and we want that for this academic year, Gronin should be examinable at a basic level, so it can help our people get the required passes to get better schools also in the country.
All right. Emmanuel, I want to thank you very much for your time on Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana. Emmanuel Ayiri is head of communications of Bona Botu, talking to us all the way from Bolgatanga. So that is how we end today's edition of Behind the News. It was produced by Christopher Siedu, Edmond Tete, Celestine Avi, Belland Elom Tete, Doreen Ampofo read the summary, and Roxin Clues sat by the machines. He controlled the machines here. From the National Studios here in Accra, my name is George Asikri. Good night. We meet tomorrow.